Please be seated. Every Sunday during the past 6 weeks, during the Easter season, the scripture readings have been drawn from three particular works of the scriptures. The first reading for each of those weeks has come from the Acts of the Apostles. And the second reading from the last book of the scriptures, the book of Revelation. And the gospel reading from the gospel according to John. Week by week, in that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the church wants us to learn what it is to be a community of faith. That we who are the people of the Easter mystery are called to be a faith community, bound to each other by the death and resurrection of the Lord. The particular passage that is put before us today is a significant passage in that it describes an event that was very central to the life of this early church. The event is talked about occurred about 20 years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Initially, this little community of faith was an offshoot of Judaism, was a form of Judaism, was a Jesus movement within Judaism, because all of those first believers were Jews who came to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But as the years went on, believers went out from Jerusalem and went out to non-Jewish areas and invited men and women of non-Jewish background to embrace the faith. And as this grew, the numbers of non-Jews, the numbers of Gentile Christians, began to grow larger and larger and larger. And the numbers of Jewish Christians began to be a very small minority. And whenever you have that tension between the majority and the minority, there is a tremendous fear on the part of the minority that they're going to be swallowed up. And after all, they were the ones who were first to believe. And so they adopted this position that if Gentiles chose to be Christian, well and good, but they must also obey the rules of Israel as found in the Old Testament. Now, the part of the story that takes place today recounts the fact that Paul and Barnabas had gone off to the city of Antioch, and there they preached the good news, and there many Gentile Christians were created, came to believe. At that time, there were three great cities in the world: the city of Rome, the city of Alexandria in northern Africa, and the city of Antioch. It was a huge city and a cosmopolitan city, a place of education, a place of trade and commerce, a place of the arts and the sciences. And so when Gentiles came to embrace the faith, that made a big impact in that cosmopolitan city of Antioch. Well, fearful of what that would do, some people from Jerusalem came up to Antioch, some Jewish Christians and began to say to those new converts that they could not be saved unless they embraced also the law of Moses. And that created a huge controversy, a huge struggle. So Paul and Barnabas decided to go down to Jerusalem and to speak to the elders and the leaders of the church and to lay this case before them. Is it necessary for a person in embracing belief in Jesus to also embrace the law of Moses? And a discussion took place. Peter was involved in the discussion. James was involved in the discussion. Obviously, Barnabas and Paul were involved in the discussion. Other members of the community, the leaders in Jerusalem, were involved in the discussion. And they arrived at a decision. They arrived at a decision. After open discussion, after open participation, after laying the issue out, they arrived at a decision. And the decision was simply this: we must never place upon the shoulders of others any burden other than those burdens that are absolutely necessary. We must never burden a believer. We must allow the believer to be free. The only constraint is around those elements that are necessary. And so, in effect, what the decision was is that Gentiles could embrace the faith without having to embrace the law of Moses. That they could bring their own culture, their own language, their own experience, their own worldview to the faith. They did not have to surrender a culture in order to embrace the faith. And that every culture can be a vehicle by which men and women can live out the message of the gospel. Now, the culture in Antioch was a highly secularized culture. Not that there were not religious elements to it, but by and large it was a secular society. Not unlike the society in which we live. And the rule of thumb that was laid out by the church was, don't put burdens upon people. Allow them to embrace the faith in freedom. The only burdens would be those essential qualities that must mark the believer. Now, that was the way the decision was made, but that wasn't all that they did. They said, we also have a recommendation for you. You're going to have to live in peace with Jewish Christians. Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians will have to live under the same roof. They will have to share a common table. They will have to gather together for prayer. And so we recommend to the Gentiles that they observe a few rules so as not to antagonize their Jewish Christian sisters and brothers. And these are the rules we suggest. These are not binding on you, but we suggest them. Number one, that you do not eat food that has been offered in sacrifice to pagan gods. That you abstain from that. Because your Jewish Christian brothers and sisters are going to be very sensitive about that. Don't make that a stumbling block. Number two, don't partake in animals as food who have not been properly slaughtered, who are not kosher. In other words, that the blood has been drained out of the animal. Now, the reason for that is that Jews believed that blood, my blood, your blood, the blood of animals, was what the very soul of the creature was. And so to partake in the blood of someone else was to mingle your soul with someone else. And that was repulsive to them. Now, as a sidebar, just imagine how those people on the hillside of Galilee reacted when Jesus said to them, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no life in you. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." No wonder most of them walked away. That was absolutely abhorrent to them. It was absolutely in opposition to the code of holiness found in the book of Leviticus. And what Jesus was saying to those people is, yes, what I'm inviting you to is an intimacy with me, a mixture of soul, that in the sacrament of the Eucharist, I enter deeply into you, and you are deeply connected with me. Well, the recommendation that was made to the Gentile Christians was that they only eat food that has been performed according to the rules of kosher keeping. And then the last piece was in the holiness code, there were a whole variety of rules about who people could marry and who people could not marry. You know, could they marry their second cousin? Could they marry their third cousin? If you were in business with somebody, could your daughter marry the son of your business partner? They had all kinds of rules about that that were very important to them. So, the leaders of the Church of Jerusalem said to the Gentiles, you don't have to take the law of Moses to yourself. You can become believers in Jesus Christ in your own culture. However, for the sake of peace, for the sake of harmony, so as not to rub the nose of the Jewish Christians into the dirt, please try to observe a couple of these dietary provisions. And please try and observe the distinctions made around who could marry who. And that solved the problem. That solved the problem. And from that point on, that has been, if you will, a way for the church to look at how it deals with its own structures and its own differences. The differences around culture, the differences around language, the differences around race, the differences around worldview. None of that should impede a person from embracing the faith. And yet, when you find communities where you've got majority and minority membership, those who are in the majority must be always sensitive to the culture of the minority, so that there can be peace, so that there can be harmony, so that there can be strength in that community of faith. Well, this morning you and I have the opportunity to welcome a young man into the life of faith through the sacrament of baptism. And it's in that sacrament that, in a very special way, you are invited to share very deeply in the life of the Lord. That's right. In that sacrament, you become a brother to Jesus, and Jesus becomes a brother to you. And in that sacrament, you become a son of God, a son of the Father. That's very important, because that means that you have now a particularly important place in God's family. So, Santiago, do you want to do that? You do. Okay. Why don't you come with me to the back? Come on. Want to just step up here on this? There. Okay. And hold your head over the water. Santiago, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Up from the waters, God has claimed you. Up from the waters, child of light. Praise to the one who called and named you. Up from the waters into
you have been enlightened by Christ. May you always walk as a child of the light, so that when the Lord comes, you may go forth to meet him with all the saints in the heavenly kingdom. Okay, you come with me now. Okay, good. Let's come on. Come on up. Just turn around so that everybody can see. Okay, you want to stand next to him. God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ frees you from all that is evil and gives you a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit and welcomes you into his people. He anoints you with the oil of salvation as Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king. So may you live always as a member of his body, sharing everlasting life. The Lord Jesus made the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. May he touch your ears to hear his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he turn his face toward you. May he let his countenance shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he grant you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can blow out the candle now. Okay.
The church, that we may always be attentive to the creative work of the Spirit and open to new ways to bring good news to people without unnecessary burdens. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the gift of peace, that we may find strength and hope in Christ's peace despite the many obstacles and challenges that arise in daily life. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all mothers and those who have been like a mother to us, that God will bless and strengthen them and inspire us to great love by their witness of their love and concern. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who are struggling against the oil slick in the Gulf of Mexico. The God will give them strength, wisdom, and the assistance they need as they face this challenge. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer. For those who are sick,